Go, wait, where you go? What up, Eagleizers? All right, I have a special guest today. It's Josh, because Tom's out there making the grind. What up, Josh?
What's up, Mickey?
Good, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm good, living large.
Oh yeah, dude. We had a really nice little chat in the green room, but you know, let's go over some news, man. Let's just talk about some of the shit going on out there in the world.
Yeah.
So we got the Justice Department backs proposed marijuana sentencing guideline reform to treat past convictions more leniently. You know, what do you think that's like the effect of, or, you know, what do you think about that? What up, Hunter?
I think that's great news, man, to be more lenient on it. I mean, I think it should, like, they should just get rid of it entirely.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not have that. But let me throw my little curveball in here and tell you that I think that the legalization of cannabis is going to be replaced by heroin. A big pharma has been pushing OxyContin, the synthetic heroin. So when cannabis users and dealers are removed from the publicly traded prison system, the modern slavery system, it'll be replaced by big pharma's heroin creation that they've been creating, because 11-year-olds can be treated OxyContin nowadays.
That's interesting way to think about it, man. I didn't even think about, like, I mean, they're gonna have to replace the prison system workers that they have, right? Maybe that's why, what is it, Arkansas just lowered the working age?
Mm-hmm.
whatever state Huckabee's in charge of, right? Like, you know, they're always looking out for the children, so they're gonna make it now that can, like, 12-year-olds can work or some shit like that in, like, meat factories. But
no, I mean, all in all, I think it's great. You know, they've got, like, the Department of Justice talking about how they want to support that proposed amendment on revising cannabis sentencing guidelines. And I think that's great. But, like, do it already. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been talking about it a long time. I'm tired of hearing about you talking about it. I want you to do something about it. I don't have patience anymore to listen to you talking about wanting to do something about it. Like, great. Do it already.
It's very you know, as a longtime advocate, like, I've known you, well, I've known about you in the medical days. I met you in the recreational times, but, like, you know, you've been part of this, like, whatever this industry is, because there was no industry before. There was no people, like, trying to get reform and trying to figure out how to do trade, and, you know, and there was no workers' rights, you know, but, like you say, now it's like, cause it's just to me, it's just a lot of just blah, blah, blah. You know, like, yeah, you know, as soon as Lance gets free, man, serving 7 years of a 10-year sentence, you know, that's just end it. Just get them all out so we can, you know, get on with this. What up, Tom? Tom's in Oklahoma, folks, or on his way today. But yeah, no, it's a nice gesture. That's what the thing is, right? It's to me, it's all gestures. Like, can we just stop? Like, freaking making these little political hoorays. You know, everybody wants a pat in the back for doing the right thing.
Yeah. Like, if Congress wants to say, oh, let's pray for these victims, you know, like, people are calling for action. They're like, yeah, we don't need your prayers. We need you to do something.
I mean, any prohibition is one of the, I think, overall, the one things that will help fundamentally overall all Americans, right? Whether you smoke, don't smoke, in jail, not in jail, it's going to help everybody, because then we get that real parity. Safe banking is still sitting, bro. That is not safe banking. It's just a more of a the judicial side, the what would you say, the prosecutorial side, rather, of things. Because, you know, this is a very complicated subject when it comes to, you know, legalization, the process of.
I think this is mostly focused on dealers, right? They're not going to focus on anybody who's consuming or even buying. They're going to be focusing on dealing. And I think they're wanting to reduce sentencing on that, which I think is good. I think it's a good step forward. But again, just do it already. Like,
yeah. Reformed to treat past convictions, right? This is not even like the present ones going on. So it is like for people like Lance, but I think it's just, to me, just endless double talk, because the one thing that's more precious than anything in the world is our time. You know, thank you for joining us, 106 people so far. Give us your time, and you know, just what it's about. So let me get I'm blocking another spammer. So we got Texas news. We got Texas lawmakers passed marijuana decrim bill. This blows my mind, dude. This blows my mind that they passed decrim, but yet they only have two medical stores You know, the state that's all about freedom, that, you know, they just seem to like keep cracking down on hemp. Like, I don't know, man.
I didn't even know they had medical stores in Texas.
Two.
So the fact that they like decriminalization is a great step forward. It tells me that they want to test the waters. They want to see if there's any pushback. They want to see if there's really deep conservatives that are coming out of the woodwork like, oh my God, Satan is coming for us. You know, the right. devil's lettuce is going to eat us next. So if, as long as there is not that frenzy, then they're like, okay, next stage medical. Okay, next stage recreational or adult use. So, I mean, this is kind of normal. I think it's a little late. They're looking at Oklahoma. They're looking at New Mexico. They're looking at their borders going, okay, these guys yeah. are making a ton of money. And this the states on those borders are going, we want some of that freedom.
Right.
And, you know, they want their they want to get paid.
Well, it's just, again, it is kind of late. It seems, when I always, when Tom and I are talking, it just seems, I always point out the fact that it's not Americans that don't want legalization, but the people who are in charge, right? The powers that be, they're out there that make the rules and actually, like, they're more focused on like just getting more votes for the next whatever round than they are about like actually making fundamental change for their citizens, right? Like, it just blows my mind. But yeah, Texas with the decrim, you know, good on you for catching up to 2018. Because that, and again, I think you're right too, because that's what California did. When I my arrest that I'm hoping get the social equity was all in California under an ounce was a misdemeanor or you know, that was it. So you do some time or you pay a probation or whatever. And when medical hit California with Prop 215, again, the cars didn't crash all over, the zombie apocalypse didn't happen. I mean, I don't know what the fuck's supposed to happen when prohibition ends. Like, what people are fearing about, right? Like, what is this? What about the childrenism? What is about the fellow? What is it? What is supposed to happen?
Yeah, we'll see. I think with, you know, cannabis cafes, I use that as an example of when you finally walk in and you see how boring or mundane or normal it is, and how it's not crazy, then the fear and anxiety will subside with everybody else. So Texas, being a conservative stronghold, has the second largest population behind California. And so if you look at it from that standpoint, New York is like fifth. So if you were to ask the question, what'll happen when there is no regulation on cannabis and it's a completely open market, Texas all of a sudden becomes the second highest behind California, third is Florida, and I think fourth or fifth is New York. New Jersey is like seventh, you know, and so there's all this hype about New Jersey and New York. That's just because it's in the news. The reality is when New York, or when Texas rather, finally figures it out and decides to flip the script and take some cash, in the name of patience, of course, then we'll see how many people actually drop their Bud Light and pick up a bowl and smoke it.
Yeah, no, patience or freedom, whatever guys they want to use. I mean, opposed to just doing it now, like you said, right? Like, just do the right thing now. But I think you have a very great point, though. And it blows my mind that to think about, like, you know, you were there during the medical times in Washington State. That was the pure capitalist, you know, that was what I pictured future legalization to be, was people would have cafes, people would be doing smoke lounges, right? We had all these things, deliveries, right? Everything was under a guise, sure, though. But as soon as recreational, the law hit, and you gave the power to law enforcement and said, here, these are the actual rules that you need to abide by.
Yeah.
And then we don't have home grow rules. We don't have lounge rules. We don't have home delivery rules.
Actually, we do have home grow rules. It's a freaking felony.
Yeah. I mean, I just it's just so crazy how legalization made it worse for us. I mean, as a consumer now, you know, it makes it great for the tourists to come over.
You know? I'm going to say my opinion until we get to Oklahoma, because I think what they did extend, well, I'm going to save it, but I to your point, yes, it was really good in the medical days. I miss it. And I think that 97% of everybody who's in the Washington market will fail, because they pushed everybody out who was a good grower in medical. They've all gone to the underground market. And what we have is about 97% trash, in my opinion. Yeah. It doesn't deserve to be there. And so I think every other market has the same issue right now, where the majority of it is absolute garbage and shouldn't be in the market. And as an aficionado or whatever, somebody who's been consuming a lot, a lot of the stuff is harsh. It's garbage. It should be the hops of the industry converted into a final product, but should not be used for direct consumption or combustion. Oh, sure. Rather, it's not ready for combustion. Only about 3 to 5 farms per state should be, in my opinion, probably have the quality that's deserving of combustion.
You know, it's great that you point that out. I just heard on a podcast this morning about, and I think it was, I don't remember which one it was, but the guy that was being interviewed was talking about how most of the recreational market out there is pushing like these fast grows, right? They're pushing mass. I mean, it's a plant. It's not about the quality, right? It's hard to describe. It's kind of like describing like love or freedom. You know, these are things that we say, but how do you describe it? And it's kind of like with cannabis, right? Like good cannabis that, me as an asthmatic dude, like very sensitive breathing, right? Like steep hills can kill me sometimes. You know? It's just pending. And so, but when like cigarettes though, I know like when I'm smoking a cigarette, because I used to smoke in the Navy just so I can get in the loop of what's going on. That's how you find out what's going on. You go hang out the smoke pit and learn like, oh, this is where we're going and shit like that. And even being around that, I think because I was younger, or I worked out at the time, but I was able to put up with it. But nowadays, when I'm around a cigarette, I get it's hard to breathe. And it's like a bag around my lungs. And then I'm like, I just need to get out. But when I'm smoking fucking weed, I can smoke good weed all day. I can go through a quarter like that. Like, it's like oxygen, you know, it gets absorbed in my.
But you came over and you passed on some of that stuff. You there's a quick bowl there where you hit it and you're like, nah, I'm good. So when I said 97% will fail, that's based on 155 samples for a cannabis cup that I did in Washington as a judge for pre-rolls and flowers. Miggy, you came over to my house. You sampled some of them. A lot of them were garbage. One of them was good. You went home with one of the best ones. But the rest of them were absolute trash. So when out of 3 that I liked out of 155, that's a 2.5% success rate, man. And I don't think that's abnormal. I think what happened is a lot of people that own construction companies and the like came in and now they have licenses. They don't know what they're doing. They pushed everybody out into the underground market. And as a result, it's just going to collapse. There's all this trash nobody wants unless you want to sell hops equivalent as an ingredient for a finished product. The rest of it isn't consumable.
You know, I think the best way to equate this in cannabis would be like to meat. I mean, are you a vegetarian too, like Tom?
No, I'm not a vegetarian, but I can't do wheat or gluten or sugar or alcohol. I lost my appendix and things got weird.
Oh no, I'm about to lose my gallbladder. We're gonna see how that goes. Oof. But you know, but I like when thinking about meat though, right? Like when I used to do jobs in Montana, dude, I used to go drive by the ranches and shit, and you can get like cow for like real cheap, like farm grazed and all that shit, running around, probably get massages, enjoying a good best life ever had. But then you got the McDonald's meat, right? This is mass produced cows, you know, locked up, disgusting. Don't want to see that video because it'll probably not make you hungry for a while. Type farming. And that probably can be applied to cannabis too, right? Because like the good farm raised craft cannabis that being purged and being fed right and that goes into our lungs like air, it takes a certain technique, and then you don't get a lot of that at once. Whereas the mass growers trying to appease this rec market, you know, with tourists and whatnot, and that's, I think, the consumer loses out, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Hey, so did you hear about Hawaii though?
I did. I barely heard about it. It seems like they want to pass some laws here.
Yeah, so Hawaii, Delaware adult use marijuana legalization outlook rosy after Oklahoma failure, which we'll talk about after. So yeah, Hawaii and Delaware have passed. Let's see what's going on. The two relatively small states could deliver welcome wins in a year when federal reform appears blocked in Congress and progress in bigger states such as Ohio and Pennsylvania is still uncertain. Both Hawaii and Delaware have Democratic trifectas where Democrats control the governorship and both chambers of the legislature. So that's positive. Maybe y'all can get your shit together and come up with something, you know?
What's your role there, Miggy? I don't know.
Shit.
You know, Delaware, if Delaware was a person, it would play that quintessential mob character you know, the hairy chest and the gold chains and like, you know, you can just give me money and I'll just do whatever you want. Cause that's where all the credit card companies are housed out of. Hedge funds are housed out of Delaware. Like Nevada and Delaware have like some of the best laws for credit card companies and stuff. So when I think of Delaware, I'm like, y'all are corrupt as hell, is my opinion.
Delaware is the one for corporations, right? But isn't like South Dakota the one for credit cards? Like there's two different like big business areas that people do business of that nature, right? Corporations in Delaware, for some reason, everybody's got a small P.O. box in Delaware. And then whatever, South or North Dakota is the relaxed credit card laws where they're allowed to do the shady shit. But yeah, well, you know, there's lots of activists in Delaware too, like for years. And I'm coming to learn, it's so weird, dude, to been like speaking about the plant, doing the online trolling and shit for years, that you start learning like each state has their own little Jack Herer or Dennis Perron, you know, like each state has a person that's been fighting the good fight for years. So it's interesting. And I really, fingers crossed, that you would think Hawaii though by now. I mean, as a half Polynesian, I'm just come on, man. What?
I was out there 5 years ago. No, God, it's been almost eight. Time flies. And I was out there for a wedding and I wanted to get some Maui Wowie, you know, I don't even know if they have that anymore, but I'm running around and I, you know, I look like an old white guy. Cause I am. And so I'm walking up to some dudes and I'm like, hey man, you guys got some weed. And they're like, are you a fed? I'm like, who are you talking to? Are you talking to me? No. And like the other guy's like, I'm not selling that guy anything. And I was like, fine, whatever. Do you know where I can get some?
Right.
Like, no, we don't know anything. So I start walking away, whatever. And one guy runs after me. He's like, hold on, man. You don't seem like a fed. I got some stuff for you. And I had bought some like really expensive Hawaiian, you know, some Maui something. It wasn't very good. It doesn't grow like it should. I'm guessing they had some outdoor stuff and it wasn't that great, but at least I got to try something out there. Hopefully they'll be able to legalize or get some medical going so they can improve it without having to go in the bush.
Well, and do it
the way they are.
Well, Hawaii, I would consider like bipolar, because that's the state that Roger Christie got prosecuted in, right? Like with his THC Ministries, where he served 5 years behind bars before even going to trial, which blows my mind in America. But you know, that's the life of a freaking cannabis advocate or someone with a plant. Like the guy was talking about religion and a plant, and they decided to go after him and lock him up for 5 years, which is, I just doesn't seem right to me, man.
Really good use of time and space. And I just interviewed a company called for the Talking Hedge, a podcast that I do. I interviewed a guy from the 357 company. They're a transport company that they ship plants and products. And I find it interesting with Hawaii and Alaska and remote places like that, where they're going to have to do delivery from island to island. That's going to be air or sea. And those are both ran by governments. So regardless, if you have a lake, like you can't go to Lake Washington and do a cannabis tour because it's regulated by the Coast Guard and that's federal. So that's why you haven't seen any like shipping dinner, infused dinners and stuff, is because of federal laws. This, however, in Hawaii could change all of that for intrastate transport across islands through air and sea and completely ratify the laws. Even though Alaska's had a decade of time to try and push that, I think maybe Hawaii maybe could be that push to get it done. I don't know.
Like the one little nudge to complete it, which, you know, that would be dope and be interesting. I, you know, it's funny too, that the Highland hopping concept, like, right, everything's expensive in Hawaii just because of like that. Like it takes forever for things to get there. I wonder what the price of weed would be there. Can I get a $10 gram?
Yeah. Can I even afford rolling papers?
Ooh.
You know, like everything imported to Alaska and Hawaii, like you said, for transportation is expensive. Like, am I just going to have to hollow out a pineapple and smoke it because I can't afford rolling papers?
It's that time, my friend. Let's take a break. All right. So that was brought to you by Tom's, he's got a new class. I don't have access to any of his stuff. Sorry, Tom, but go to Collateral Base, Google Cannabis Industry Lawyer. Tom's definitely, he's always working on the grind, right? Like, I've just been advocating for the plan, and that's why I like working with Tom. I got an article coming out explaining about part of the social media we've been doing and everything, because running a page with 400,000 people likes is endless, dude. Like, the amount of spam and trolls, and then I see these Republican people like bitching about like the social medias are shadow banning. These bitches don't know shit about the internet, right? You want to talk about shadow banning, just type in the word marijuana, because that's how, I don't know if you know, but like, I used to make memes and shit trolling cops who would brag about arrest. And so one day I went to type in marijuana and nothing came out. I'm like, man, that what, you telling me nobody in the fucking world's posting anything about weed right now? Nah. Right. Yeah, and I came out the same time when Facebook did their Twitter did their little like disclaimer for drugs, you know, like, hey, if you're searching this, you might need help. I mean, you might need more weed, but I don't know about help. So yeah, let's talk about Oklahoma sadness, dude. This Oklahoma voters reject adult use marijuana, and you know that the voting results were, let's see if I can make this bigger for everybody. So the state petition that just happened, yes, was 217,000. The no's were 349,000. That's 120,000-130,000 people difference, man. What do you think?
Oklahoma is an anomaly within the entire North America. And by that, I mean, let me put it into context. We have 400 growers in Washington State, where Miggy and I are from. Just in Oregon, right below us, there's 7,000 licenses. Those are guys that are growing, making product, and selling. Producers, processors, and retailers, all right? 3,000 licenses. That's crazy talk. You don't have anything by comparison. You don't have 7,000 tomato farmers or anything like that.
Well, they're not...
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I would just say for a tomato farm, though, I mean, they're not doing like small crops, right? Like, ideally, I would imagine, you know, that they don't equate to the same size.
Yeah, tomato farmers is a perfect analogy because they're all small farmers, and there's like a co-op. Yeah, so when a grocery store has to get them from like 15 tomato farmers, and they're all small farmers, small batch, and then they, because you can't scale it very well. And so they all come to get, yep, and they come together, and that's how Walmart and everybody else gets their tomatoes, is from small batch farmers. And even then, you don't have hundreds of them. Yeah. So when you go to Oklahoma, by comparison to the 3,500 licenses or 3,000 licenses, whatever it is in Oregon, there's over 7,000 licenses in Oklahoma. So that is a crazy amount of competition. I'm still guessing the majority of it is trash, but in every market I've seen, the medical market is always decent. There's good stuff. You can open up a jar from, you know, dozen of the top shelf brands, open up that jar, and then the whole room will just smell like a skunk. Yeah. Versus the hay and the trash and the stuff that has no aroma these days. As soon as it flips from medical to adult use, you lose all of that. Because those growers stop. They know what their prices are. They've been doing it forever. People in the Emerald Triangle, you can't tax them 30% because they'll go out of business. They know what they're doing. The people who jump in are the carpetbaggers who want money, who think that it's going to be $7,000 a pound for life. You know, Philly, New York, I'm talking to you. We can barely get $2,500 a pound for top shelf out here. People realize that they'll have to get those individuals back in here. But Oklahoma is an interesting scene because they've rejected that. They're going to be able to hold on to these good cultivators for a lot longer than most other markets.
A lot of people saw like Oklahoma, they thought because they got medical that this is going to be a no-brainer. And I think a lot of people who eyeballed recreational market, because it's funny, ironically, you wearing that Cookies hat, Cookies pulled out of Oklahoma. Like, they just disappeared.
Everyone I know has pulled out. There's half a dozen people from California who went there, and everyone I know is pulled out. So the only people who are there are like Seeds Here Now, Canicon, the Picks and Shovels. They're gonna want to be the ones who are selling these 7,000 licenses. Everyone else is pulled out, but I still know that there's some really good farms out there. And the moment they go to adult use, those guys are going to have to quit because they can't afford to stay in the game.
I think they missed an opportunity right now. So like that last recent vote was like a 7% tax. Like, that's the lowest fucking tax I've heard about all these rules coming out. That's so
crazy low.
Yeah, so that barrier right there would have been like perfect for a lot of people to like. And the problem is, like, with the growers and the shop owners, is people don't know how to acclimate their business, right? Mm. You, when you're doing tax free, you don't have to worry about that 7%. That's like, if you're making $100,000 a year, that's $7,000 out of pocket. Like, that's $7,000 that you use for other shit. And then one day you realize, oh shit, I've been doing it all wrong by not putting this aside for some person that doesn't help me, you know, like the government. But that's, you know, but they, what they do is they put you in jail if you don't pay that. So I think they missed an opportunity. But I also think the fault, that reason why it didn't pass, was the medical market, man. You know, I saw Oklahoma had the exact same model as Washington, right? When I went out there with Seattle Hemp Fest, when they just started medical, they did a little Seattle Hemp Fest out there. And we did a little smoke out. There was no rules allowed, no nothing. But at that time, they had CBD stores like Starbucks. You know, they were like CBD everywhere. So people already got used to seeing the leaf. And then when medical happened, what I think happened was a lot of the people who, those 7,000 people, were like, we can't, we don't want competition. You know, patients, this is going to hurt you, patients. It's going to hurt me, so it's going to hurt you. And really, it's coming no matter what, folks. Like, recreational, if you got medical, that's the gateway to people eyeballing and figuring out how to, you know, how many recreational petitions that we have here in Washington that never passed until the money came in? Like, there's too many to count. Yeah. So when the money realizes, like, hey, you know, and that's the thing. I think people, I haven't heard anything good about Oklahoma weed, honestly, dude. Like, I haven't heard any positive, but I think potential's there, right? Because if you have a gardener or a farmer that can, like, take the task and figure out what it takes to make good weed, and you know, it's all about the soil and all the shit that, the, you know, things that, I'm not a grower, you know, hopefully.
I would put my, I'm not a gambling man, but I would put my money on any medical market over any adult use market anywhere. I think there's better cannabis, better cultivars, and better options in any medical market versus the, because the adult use, like I said, there's going to be 3 to 5 in any adult use, and that's it. That's it. Freddy Fuegos was the top ranked one out of 155 strains from the Cannabis Cup I was just in judging. And yet two of their other ones were worse than the average score. My average score was a 68%. One of Freddy Fuegos had like 66% or something. It was terrible.
Damn.
So they're inconsistent, right? Even the best one is inconsistent. So,
well, it's so funny you bring that up too about the inconsistency, because I talked to the guy behind Top Shelf. Here we have a brand called Top Shelf, and the guy, he has little shot glasses that he puts his bottle, his weed in eighths and quarters, and he's going to like full ounces and shit, and they're all shot glass shape, whatever. And when I first saw that brand and I first met him, this was right when recreational started. It was at one of the several little mini always events that they have going on at the time, where people can like sell their shit to each. I think it was a KushCon or whatever, but a Kush marketplace thing. But I was just thinking, man, that's very braggadocious to say you're Top Shelf, like, to, you know, to say, because your shit better be good all the time. Yeah. And to be honest, I've never met any of his shit bad. And when I talked to him later, recently at the MJ marketplace thing, I was like, because he wants to expand, he wants to go to Vegas, he wants to go to other states, but keep it small. He's not trying to be like a large tier, he wants to be a small tier in each side, which I think is a brilliant way to keep that quality, you know.
Yeah, did you go to Interchange? Is that what you're talking about?
The Interchange. Interchange? Yeah.
The speed dating for producers and retailers to meet each other. And that's a good spot to go and meet people and kind of see what's happening and who's there. Yeah, I want to go to that, the next one for sure.
They're really good. I, you know, and I honestly, all these little like meet and greet events that, you know, events, I used to like not think of much to do about anything, but when you're not allowed to brand as far as like advertise in magazines or TV or radio or whatever the case is, you know, your accounts are getting deleted all the time. These little meetups are the best way that I think brands can come together and figure out how they're going to, you know, work with each other or whatever.
I'm just tired of going to cannabis events where there's not a lot, where you're not allowed to have cannabis. Like tonight, yeah. There's the Dab Roast. So Steve, Scott McKinley is hosting that up north, and I'm not going to go because I'm not interested in drinking at a cannabis event. You know,
actually, you can smoke at those ones that he's hosting.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was at a bar. It's not his Arlington warehouse. It's at a bar.
He's got a drug deal with that dude.
Of course he does.
It's private property, bro. But he knows the guy. And it's kind of like another like Frank situation, right? Like,
that Olympia bar we could smoke at. That was crazy.
So for people who don't know, which would be most of you, in Washington State, back in the day, there was this guy named Frank, RIP, who really just stuck it to the man because he had a bar, and then he owned the property, and it was a two-story complex. And then when recreational became legal, was it during just recreational, or did it do it in medical times too?
Medical,
just recreational. Yeah. Did he do it during medical?
I think so. It was underground, obviously.
Because at one point, they tried to fuck with him, but here in Washington, if you have a private club, you're allowed to have members and people come hang out with you and, you know, socialize and do a thing. Some clubs pay fees, some don't. His was $2. And so you go to his place, you can go to the bar downstairs, or you can go upstairs where I think you could buy alcohol too at the same time, but you were able to smoke cigarettes and shit. So it was a club environment. And and I didn't smoke cigarettes, stayed away from the other guys. That was the only bad part about that place, dude. But he had like so many pool tables and widescreen TVs up there. It was fucking brilliant.
Ventilation was the biggest takeaway for me, wanting to open up the Seattle Super Chronic Cafe and looking at his ventilation system. He had these pulleys that were on a fan, right? So the fans, just like your alternator belt, were pulling this other thing. And then within the fan was a carbon filter. So you just added these carbon pellets that were basically being pulled in from the fan, the smoke was being pulled in from the fan, and then
it's
super simple. It was easy. You don't really need a lot of technology for that. And it was smoky. Having asthma, did you find that to be like really annoying?
So here's the other thing. My wife smokes. So I live with a smoker. And so, you know, there's a low tolerance that I live with now or put up with, but also being like directly in a room with it, that's when I like, or the smoke's in my lungs. Like if I'm breathing in your smoke, that's when I'm like, I got issues. Like I start like, you know, start breathing a little heavier and going, this is not good, you know? But, we got more stories. So we got, weed legalization, blah, blah, blah. Benzinga. Weed legalization fails its objective, leads to higher use and negative health effects. UN related body says, I'm going to call it bullshit. Higher use. Why is that a bad thing? Negative health. What negative health effects? Let's find out. Let's see. The International Narcotics. Holy crap, the spam. The International Narcotics Board warned Thursday about dangers of ongoing recreational cannabis legalization trending. Oh, I bet you they're going to like cite fucking overdoses in goddamn hospitals, like kids eating candy and shit. This is ridiculous, dude. Have you checked this story out?
I don't know if it's that one. So I've got one where it says marijuana use could increase chances for heart disease. The study says, you're just finding that out now because like cannabis has been out there for a long time. So like what's causing heart disease? I don't know. Is it just been in the last 3 years? Because maybe we need to rub a couple brain cells together and figure out something else.
Right. It could have had nothing to do with like the mass farming and the cows out there. I mean, in the American diet that we have. I mean, I'm honestly all about doing what the fuck I want. But now, because I have to go to a hospital, I realize sometimes you just can't. But here it says between 2008 and 2018, global medical admissions related to the cannabis dependence and withdrawal increased eightfold. Admissions for cannabis related psychotic disorders have quadrupled worldwide. So that's your... That's your shit.
I will say though, I mean, so there's that patent 663-0507. U.S. has a government patent on the neural protectant, the ability to stop from heavy metals crossing the blood-brain barrier. Like it's really, really beneficial to have cannabis in your system. However, if the cannabis you're consuming or the hemp you're consuming comes from toxic heavy metal areas, say that, you know, some, chemical waste plant and they're growing hemp around there to clean the soil. And then they just want to sell you the flowers that are from that. Cause they'll do that in Chernobyl, right? They'll use hemp to clean the soil, but what do? You should like get rid of that. You shouldn't obviously sell it to a consumer. So the problem is with things like glyphosate that the US still allows, even though it's illegal in every other country, this pesticide that's sprayed on everything leaches all the way down to the finished product. So whether it's wine or Cheerios, glyphosate is this chemical poison that's in everything. Yeah. And if you consume it, where does it go? It's going to get into your brain. If you have that blood-brain barrier that cannabis helps to protect, those are things that can help you to avoid Alzheimer's, dementia, all of these things that have caused are a frequent cause of neural degeneration and mental disorders. So if we can keep good cannabis that isn't using high lead and Eagle 20 and really bad pesticides and heavy metals, then that plant can be good. But if you've got dirt, like really shitty growers who only care about profit, well, then you're consuming something that's really, really bad, especially concentrates. Dabs are really, really bad if it comes from something that's grown unethically.
Well, and again, here in Washington State, 10 years into recreational legalization, why is it we have two different requirements for medical and recreational cannabis, but it is a plant consumable product? It's a consumed by humans, right? It's not like patients are consuming it different than recreational users, right? Some are smoking, some are adding it, in RSO, some are eating edibles, but they all should be equally tested. In my opinion, it's a concern. So to your point, check this out. This is some dumb shit news, dude. Also, though, we should take a moment and point out RIP Raphael Mechelen, because we're talking about cannabinoids and CBD and the patent 663-0507. But the man who discovered THC just passed away. And that's just, we wouldn't know about this shit. We wouldn't be able to talk about it if it wasn't for this guy. So. RIP, but check this shit out, though. Congressional bill punishing illegal marijuana grows aims to protect consumers from pesticides, sponsors say. Mm-hmm. So, what the fuck? Congressional bills punishing illegal marijuana. If it's illegal already, aren't you punishing people? Like, what's the fucking point? You're not protecting nobody, mofo.
Yeah, I love it how it's for the protection of people, though. That's always the guise of it. But you know what? The cannabis industry did it too. We were like, it's for kids. It's for Charlotte. We did it too. We just flipped it right back on them. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. That's what works.
I understand what you're saying when it comes to we're saying it's medicine and it's not, and it's for the children, but there's one's a truth. And then the other one is just shit you're pulling out of your ass. Because
one is marketing or propaganda BS, and the other one is legitimate. But they're both marketing.
Yeah.
We understand that obviously cannabis is medicinal, and the only way to get that across through some thick-headed idiots is to show them a seizure and its immediate benefits. Americans love immediate gratification, and they have a soft spot for children. So. I mean, it makes sense to put that together, but all I'm saying is that's still
marketing. You're 100% right. I mean, I also say that it wasn't for the Stanley brothers being white and attractive. I give them a lot of credit for spreading the word on CBD.
They put their balls on the table, on the chopping block, man.
Yeah.
On a guillotine, and they survived. So somebody needs to make a statue of the Stanley brothers for show. Yeah.
I would say whatever issue you have.
They had 200 or 2,000 life sentences that they could have been nailed with.
Oh yeah, and I mean, thankfully they're on the other side of everything, and they've been paving the way with patents and whatnot too, right? Yeah. So it's a very interesting world we live in, because we do have to do that. We have to do marketing for goddamn legalization, right? It's the dumbest thing, Hey, I got one more story here. We have a missed opportunity for headlines from everybody I've seen on every fucking cannabis topic. Ready? Here's up. Ass and grass and mass. No one has said that.
Oh, except the guy who lost $50 million what was his name? Dan Blazarian with Ignite.
Yeah.
His ass in grass. It's nothing new though. Like most people probably don't know this, Miggy. We see it every day driving around, but there's bikini baristas that have thongs and pasties and they sell coffee because like who doesn't want, I don't know, breast milk in their coffee? No, they don't have breast milk in coffee. But, you know, you go and you see like, I don't know who goes there, but it's just weird that they have this drive-through coffee and it's normalized in Washington State now. I think it came from Nevada, even. I don't see it in Vegas. I don't see it at all. I only see it here. So this is, to me, is like normal. Like, yeah, okay, that's really, really lame, really cheesy. You're going to completely push out any kind of females that want to feel safe at a store. It's gross. It's lame. It means you probably have really terrible products in there, but sex sells.
Yeah, it does. Hey, we got a little name restraint. That's right. Let me find that little bad boy. Let's see. I don't even know. Wait, do we have it? Oh, there it is.
That makes sense. This is a strip club. Castle is a strip club. They're going to transform their business into a topless cannabis dispensary, making for potential standouts in the multi-billion-dollar. What happened to restaurants? Remember like, Twin Peaks and everything was kind of coming out and. But the Hooters is gone, dude. Hooters is not in Portland. Hooters is not in Washington.
I saw one in Mexico.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, so that's the machismo that's keeping that alive.
Well, yeah,
industry. We don't really have those restaurants anymore. So I think it's kind of a fad. Yeah, restaurants.
I've never heard of called restaurants.
I saw that on CNBC one time. Yeah, I was like, that's a great name.
But I think to your point, though, you're right, though, this is gross because, like, I mean, marijuana is not federally legal. And so, like, the more and more we do novelty shit like this, you know, the other thing I don't like is the lean. When they do the syrup lean fucking for.
Oh, God.
RSO.
Yeah, the syrup. Yeah, yeah. You want to emulate people to drink codeine. You are an absolute moron. It makes the people of Cannabumps look less stupid.
Oh my God.
The cocaine snorting thing is one of the stupidest products I've ever seen. Right next to that is Scissor. Yes. Absolutely. No.
Totally. Two just like ultimate, like, and you know what's more frustrating to me is they're successful, right? Like people are buying them. Kids are being ignorant and picking it up. Stores are being ignorant and picking it up. So, all right, let me do a little bumper here. All right, here we go. Ooh, that's a pretty one. So this is a OG strain, one that I've smoked as a kid. Well, like 18. I'm going to type it in the chat in case you don't know what it is.
I love the orange hairs on it, and it looks very 90s in its green and brown hairs for sure.
You remember a time of just like when you get good weed like that, and then they'd be like, "What is it?" And you're like, "Red hair." Like that's what I call it.
Yeah. I don't know. Kind of, I could go with the Durban Poison if it was in the 2000s.
Oh, it's Oscar week. That's a great, that's your clue. Hear that. That's a Tom giving a chime.
Oh, boy. Pop culture, I lost immediately. I'm out.
It's Oscar week, man. You know Oscars.
No, I don't at all.
Where are the Oscars held at?
LA? Oh, LA Kush?
Oh, you're so close. You're so close.
LA Confidential.
There you go. See, now we're playing it with Josh.
I speak for the people.
There we go. So we got LA Confidential, and let me just throw this link into the chat. This is because we get, I guess Tom has a code or something that we get a little something. He gets a little something, whatever. But anyways, get your seeds here. Let me remove that bad boy. Usually Tom does. Now I'm on a. Look at that. Pretty. It's weird how he gets pictures of nugs and like that's like on the cola still. So yeah, I guess it hasn't been trimmed and. Made better yet, you know, cured. Chad. So
how long does that take to grow? Because if you're doing something like a Blue Dream in the Northwest and you have an early rain, that a 16-week Blue Dream is going to get rained on in October. So when does this harvest, like how long is this if we're going to do an outdoor?
we got the effects, we got what it smells like. They're feminized too. So let's see, seeds that got grow.
You don't have to deal with any seeds. That's good.
Yeah, 8 ounces. So this is a really cool website. Are you going to be growing this year?
I don't have my medical card, so no. But I really want to. I haven't grown for several years, but 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. So that's what, 2 months?
Dude, yeah. That's fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The average time is what, 3 months, though, right? Chad can correct me.
Starting from seed, yeah.
Yeah, he says 8 to 9 weeker. That's even faster. Or no, about the same time. Neat. That's so neat when you come to like two growers, like I'll just pull one thing out and he's got his experience and like it's about the same time. That's what you can get, like a guesstimate of what to expect, you know? Yeah. Shoot. Let me see if I got any more stories to throw out to you guys. I might have covered it all.
So I saw that there's an article that says there's an openness to medical cannabis is fairly low. A report from 2022 from the UK and Europe that interest in medical is low. And I wonder if they're just skipping over that and going, yeah, let's just go straight to adult use.
I imagine so. I mean, to some people, it's not medicine, right? But other people, it's more about like a liberty issue. Or a rights issue, civil rights issue, you know, and that's what the marketing, I think, that we have to keep pointing out more and more. It's, you know, yes, it is medicine, but it's also, you know, fundamentally me being a lesser as a citizen just because I smoke and consume a plant that hasn't killed anybody unless like a bell falls on them. Oh, you know, I got this. Have you seen this documentary? It's called The Scientists. The web, the YouTube channel is Foundation Canna. This one's, they have it both in Spanish and English, it's a really good one. So it breaks down the, Raphael Mechlem, like his story and how he discovered, THC and everything. And it's free. So I'm going to throw that in the chat too. Just
By the way, CBDH, did you hear about that? That just came out a couple days ago. No. Something that's really good for pain. Did you guys report on that?
No, not that I heard.
I think it's CBDH is what it's called. So, you know, like THCA, you guys probably heard about that. THCV, you probably heard about that. Yeah. CBDH apparently is really good for pain. So that'd be kind of cool.
I was going to say, it's wild how they can break down the components of cannabinoids and then further break that down, you know, but I think sometimes we're giving the world too much information, right? Because they're like, then you get the ignorant guy who wants to keep this subject more. Because to me, it seems like prohibition is like a big red herring that everybody likes to keep alive, because then they can do other shit and be like, well, I'm trying, but you know, the rules and the process.
Yeah, it's not going to stop people from moving forward. You know, you got people in New York that are in food trucks. They're making deliveries on scooters and bicycles.
Oh yeah.
But in existing markets, though, it's reverting back. You got a crackdown on illegal cannabis growers in Oregon, California. So there's a huge demand for illegal cannabis in California, and they're claiming it's due to high taxes. I mean, maybe, or is it just like I mentioned before, like in Washington, where you just push the people out because it wasn't just the taxes, but it's everything else. It's the unrealistic expectations of pricing and everything else, where doesn't make sense.
Well, especially for an agriculture product, right? Because if you invest all your money into a license, the place, the dirt, the lighting, the circulation, everything, and then you get mold or pests, you know, that eat your bud, and then now you're going to toss it, or you're going to try and find that bullshit mold to gold, you know, route. But either way, you're not going to get the same investment that you got back. You might break even if you're lucky, but it encourages too much failure, in my opinion, or enables too much failure.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because remember when it was Washington medical market, where like you see them in the documentaries for California, right? There was not many Washington transactions film, like the markets and the dispensaries or the lounges, because we were very good about keeping a secret. You know what I mean? Like California, there's some documentation out there, like Steve D'Angelo, where they show people going to Green Harbor or Harborview and with pounds and trying and selling it to the dispensary, and then get, you know, that was happening here. That was the law of the land, where everybody had a chance to make some money if they wanted to, and you could buy clones at the same dispensary, start over again.
You know, have you been to the new farmers market that just popped up?
No.
Yeah, I just saw it on like Facebook or something this week, maybe this last week.
Somebody was talking.
I don't know if it's in. I don't know if it's in the Tacoma area or if it's in the Seattle. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know. I just saw it. I don't even know if it's legit. But somebody was like, "Yeah, we're opening up a farmer's market for medical." I was like, "Damn, it's time to re up my medical card," because after that cannabis cup, I was like, I'm done, dude. This is all tourist weed. I'm out. Yeah. High Five Farms, like, props to you guys. $60 retail and with 30% off. Like, you know, it's super affordable. I think the best value in all of Washington, outdoor, organic, pesticide free, High Five Farms, mad props.
I think, you know, you're right as far as the quality, and really as a consumer, I know I've been getting less as far as when it was medical, but there's only that one market that I, because they got raided too recently, like 6 months ago or whatever, Vincent's Compassion, and I think they reopened up the same place because it's all about the land, right? Like, the person who owns that land doesn't care. They let you turn it into a market, but as long as they see their rent, they don't care what you do there. But I really have been considering about getting medical again and trying to look in those ways, because it was more cost efficient for quality. You know, it was as an asthmatic. I mean, today I bought a $30 eighth, or yesterday rather, some Gary Payton, and it's okay. A little harsh in the back, but you know, that same $30 could have got me like a quarter of good weed in the medical days. So yeah, no, I feel it, dude.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the comments. It's funny because a lot of these indoor that we tested, the light depth, the purple that looked really good, the dark purple, crystal, trichomes on there were just like, you needed sunglasses, whatever. And then you hit it and it's like hitting an ashtray. It was so harsh. It was so bad. It was so nasty. I felt like there was a direct inverse relationship to how bad it smoked and how good it looked. So yeah, you guys are saying indoors the best. Like, it's all personal preference. Like, each to their own. All I'm saying is there's value. I'm not talking about what's the best. I'm talking about what's the, like, yeah, I've spent $300-$400 for indoor and it's fire. But can I smoke that every week? No. Why? Yeah. Because I'm cheap. I'm frugal. So I'm trying to find the best value here. And for me, it's High Five Farms.
And really, we do have good weed, but it's so freaking expensive. Freaking Mad Mark's Farms. He was
House of Coulter Bar is another, you know, really good farm that I'm never gonna buy because I smoke too much.
I can't afford a fucking eighth every fucking day from you guys. I'm sorry, or an ounce, you know, that I'm gonna re-up once a week. it's unfortunate because that's how it used to be. That's what I missed about the medical shit, because you'd walk in and you weren't limited to, you remember back in the day, you buy an ounce, that's all you get, or you smoke a quarter pound, you know, like, this is all, I'm gonna buy a quarter pound of this weed, and it's the only option I have because that's what that guy had. And now I walked into the dispensaries back in medical days. I mean, can I get a gram of that, a gram of that, and a gram of that? Because I'm trying to find the ones that I like. I'm trying to understand what tastes good, what just my experience, right? Like, that's all we're trying to. Everyone's different when their experience comes to cannabis, because it's illegal. Period.
You know? Yeah. I'm looking forward to when it's not illegal, because I think a lot of these people will finally realize what's good when you have a cannabis cup that's national and someone from California goes to Oklahoma and goes, all of your stuff is trash. Get the fuck out of here already. You can't even play the game. Go home. Like, no offense, but I bet you there's one person in Oklahoma that could even compete, and they're not going to win against somebody from the Emerald Triangle. It's just not going to happen. So once we get to that level and there's an international competition or a U.S. cup, then everyone's in their own bubble thinking that, oh, my genetics are fire and my system and my way and whatever. It's like, nah, everyone in Washington is trash. TJ's Organics is actual like fire in Oregon. Some of the best in the entire world that I've smoked consistently fire from TJ's Organics in Oregon. Nice. They could compete on an international level. most people can't, even though like ego will tell them, yes, my shit is the best. Ah. And you're like, no, you can't compete. You just haven't been out of your own snow globe long enough to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's the running joke, though? You ask a grower, who's the best? And they're going to say theirs, right? Like, there's, you know, it's my recipe.
Every time in medical, people come in and are like, my stuff's the best. And it was always funny to watch somebody like Jerry Mead, who worked at a medical shop. He'd open up a jar, put it on the front, wait for it to waft. And then eventually the person trying to sell their swag would be like, what is that stuff? And you're like, that's fire. And it's way less than the shit you're smelling. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, it's hard to like, and again, the quality that existed back then, it's so much, it's like trying to explain air. You know, it was just so good. It was so pure. And that's what you get from good, pure cannabis. You get this non-harshness, you know, it is oxygen. And, you know, a lot of people when, you know, like on the internet, you see people like commenting about like what's good or bad. And you're like, you just don't have a clue, you know, because I'm pretty sure you don't have the same access unless you're in these legal states, right? Because then you can have a variety and choices. But I see a lot of people, I just don't think have a clue of what really good weed is, period.
Yeah.
But hey man, we kept it live for an hour. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Nothing.
What you got going on? Hey, you know what? Before we go though, I think people, because like you do beyond cannabis, because I like I said, I've known you about you in the medical days. You had that Seattle Super Chronics brand for a while. And then you know, you've always been like a middleman for cannabis, but also like right behind you is the Toro Alerts, because you're into like investments and you're another money guy like Tom is, you know. Yeah. For Toro Alerts, are you using that for your for cannabis stocks as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I was managing a $650 million fund for Capital One. And then a friend of mine was dying of multiple sclerosis. So I was growing for him in my basement, and I had fully automated system. It alerted me when the time and water, humidity, everything, like I dropped over five grand on this system, and it would tell me everything at every minute. It was awesome.
Damn.
And so that's how I got into the cannabis industry, is like, I'm going to make a fully automated system. So I grabbed some guys from Amazon to do that, but then they got recruited to Time Magazine and brought Time Digital from zero to like a billion users in their first year. And then I became like a consultant in the cannabis industry, and I'm talking to a group of investors about cannabis as an alternative investment. And this hedge fund owner came up to me and said, oh, would you be interested in putting a cannabis portfolio together? I've got a hedge fund that uses artificial intelligence and machine learning to do automated algorithmic trading. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude, but that sounds rad. Let's do this. And so we threw a cannabis portfolio together, and it got like 93%. So essentially it doubled your money in that 1 year. And then we threw the algorithm together on cryptocurrency and then stock options and then all these individual. So we're helping the Cannabis Alliance too. We're going to put together a portfolio for them, kind of reverse engineering this exchange traded fund or ETF called ARK. AARK is the ticker symbol. Kathy Wood she's a famous portfolio manager, and she manages the ARK fund. And so we're reverse engineering that to get better trades using AI and ML to do that automatically.
Is it available on like the Google Store and Apple Store then? Toro Alerts?
Yeah, the app is free to download and use. Toro Alerts. They have to have two separate apps for regulations on crypto. But yeah, iOS or Android, you can download Toro Alerts, and it'll alert you when to buy and when to sell stocks and crypto.
For that one that you created, the account, how well did it do when you were monitoring it?
The crypto, the cannabis, I mean?
Yeah, the cannabis one.
The cannabis was 93% in 2020. And then 2021, we realized that it doesn't move very well. Like, it only moves with the news.
Okay.
Right? So yeah. We were like, okay, let's add some more stuff so that it actually like we'll do something. So we added like ESG, you know, environmental social governance, and SRI, which is social responsible investing. So like good feeling companies.
Yeah, yeah.
We added that, and it got 147% in 2021.
Okay.
It ended up doing really well.
Again,
it's all automated, which helps because crypto moves in the European market. So when we're sleeping, that's when all that activity happens. So you'll wake up, be like, I lost 30% or I gained 60% or whatever. But you're sleeping most of the time, which is perfect for an algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the nice part about it.
What do you? I mean, now it's not weed related, but the whole banking thing that just happened with the two that got turned over.
We've had crazy stuff. Yeah, the SBF, the Sam Bankman-Fried stuff with his crypto thing. Like, that bank is from here, and we know somebody who worked at that bank. She just started working for Moonstone Bank that got kind of bought by XTF or FTX? FTX.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was one thing with the crypto that was local here. But then what's crazy is that Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, was like highly rated. And it's weird that there's a collapse. I worked for a bank called Washington First International Bank, and it got taken over by the FDIC. Mm. And the writing was on the wall. It was a nightmare. I stayed 90 days and I was out. I was like, peace. I'm not Harry Potter. I don't have a wand. I'm not magic. Bye bye. Yeah.
Well, because you mentioned the warm fuzzy investment stuff, and people were kind of blaming that the SBV bank is one of those people that are supposed to be like the green investors or whatever. But I just think a lot of this time is just bad planning, right? Bad business,
risky. They're the ones who put all the money into Silicon Valley startups. So that's going to be, I don't know if it's a Lehman Brothers, like 2008 financial collapse moment, where like that was the camel that broke, or the straw that broke the camel's back, whatever the saying is. But SVB, this Silicon Valley Bank collapse, put into receivership by the FDIC, could be a moment where all of these people's money, average bank balance, $5 million, FDIC insurance, $250,000, people lost a lot of money. And they were all investors in startups. Now you have nobody investing in startups because the main bank just failed. What's the downward pressure on that? All of these startups may have had their money in those banks. Now all of these startups fail. And what if those startups provide technology to bigger banks? Now those are bigger companies.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Do you think this will somehow trickle down to cannabis investments, right? For all the startups that we have in cannabis and all the, you know, because cannabis was considered like the other green tech, you know, wary, you know.
Yes. Yeah, because we haven't had a collapse in a long time, right? Yeah. And so there's altruistic individuals in the cannabis space who aren't paying themselves. So when we have this recession and when the economy, you know, completely collapses, that's going to be the moment where a lot of these people say, okay, I can't do this anymore. I got to go get a real job. You know, I got to get a job that pays me because I had to pay myself in 5 or 10 years or whatever. It'll be a huge moment where there's either people come together as a co-op, or they collapse. Now, they can't file bankruptcy in the same way, but this will be a moment where there's either opportunities to be bought out at distressed rates, or you collapse, or you come together and merge, a traditional merger or co-op.
I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see how this affects cannabis and how people react to it, at least the industry side of things. Cannabis has always been, at least the industry that is existence right now, has always been huddled up and been separate. It's been the redheaded stepchild of money, right? Like, it's, you know, it gets abused and not abused, or, you know, but left alone, you know. Whether this collapse affects that, I mean, I think it's more about the investors that are going to be thinking, well, I just thought I'd be risky in tech. Do I really want to be risky in weed now? I mean, but it really isn't risky in weed, you know, as far as, you know, in tech, you're trying to create a new thing, you know, weed's weed.
It's interesting too. People are using it as an opportunity. So I don't know if you guys saw that there's like $500 million in back taxes owed by North American cannabis companies in Canada and the US. They all owe tons of money. But I've spoken to publicly traded companies before, and they basically told me it's cheap cost of capital. It's a cheap loan. Your credit card is way higher than 6%. And that's what the IRS is charging, is only 6%. So why would you pay your taxes? You don't. I'm telling you right now, this isn't advice. I'm no lawyer or accountant, but I wouldn't pay my taxes. I'd use that money for something else and take a 6% loan.
Yeah, no, that's just crazy, man. It's interesting, man. That was a great little deep dive, though. It was very. Well, we'll see, though, right? I mean, all this shit is just pending, and we're gonna hang out and see how the world changes. But you know, until then, it'll be the same as next week. Do you have anything going on you want to drop to everybody or anything?
No, that was it, man. Had a good time. Right on.
Hey, man, I appreciate you joining us, and I appreciate you guys for joining us. And till next week, or maybe this week, I'm working on another video, a little write-up for just to see what we some shit in the back end of what I've been doing. So till then, take care, and thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
I'm Larry Mishkin, and I'd like to invite you to join Rob Hunt and me on our weekly podcast, The Deadhead Cannabis Show. Each week, we explore the latest cannabis and jam band news and reminisce with other deadheads and jam band lovers about the great musical acts that we've seen and heard. Check out a new episode every Monday.
Peace.